Well, thank you thank the Lord for our worship service today. And we know it's a special service. It will be special for you. Amen. I said it will be special for you. Amen. And the Lord will bless you and through you bless many other people in Jesus' name. Amen. Here am I, send me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our worship service. We bless your name because we know you are already here with us. Thank you for all the areas and all the sections of the service. And thank you for everything we have learned. We pray, Lord, that this time you speak to everyone definitely and distinctly in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, that you strengthen us to take this gospel and the word of the Lord, the word of salvation, to people who are perishing outside so that they will come to life eternal in Jesus' name. Send us, Lord, and make us effective as you send us. Reveal to us the depth of what Christ has done for ourselves, for our neighbors, for everyone around. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A good amen before you sit down. Amen. God bless you. We're looking at John today. And as we look at John today, we're reading from some selected verses. I'm reading from verse 29, John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's how we came to the Lord. That's why we came to the Lord. And that is what brought us to the Lord. The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sent from above into this world, not only to look at what we're doing, or to look at a situation, or to sympathize with us, but to see a predicament, to see the consequence of our sin, of our evil, and then pay the price, the penalty of our sin, and take us away from sin, take sin away from us, and then bring us, reconcile us to the Lord. All that he came to do at his first coming. And John said, and we're still saying today, and the Spirit of God is saying today to everyone, behold the Lamb of God. Come to verse 36. In verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. You cannot reveal the Lamb to another person except to yourself. You have benefited from the ministry and from the mediation of that Lamb. You must behold the Lamb. You must believe the Lamb, and you must become a transformed person, a changed person, a child of God by beholding and believing the Lamb before you can tell him, before you can tell other people what he has done. We're coming to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1. Reading from verse 18, it says, for as much as she know that she were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb. Here the Apostle Peter is still emphasizing that Christ is the Lamb. But it's not just the Lamb there without being slain. He had to be killed. He had to shed his blood. And it is the blood of that Lamb, the spotless blood. And it is the blood of that Lamb, the sinless blood. It is the blood of that Lamb, the perfect blood, the heavenly blood. It's the blood of Christ, the Son of God himself, that saves us. That's why he says we're saved not by silver, not by gold, from the tradition of our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Lamb, the Son of God, the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb that is without blemish and without spot. It tells us that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is the center of man's redemption. Without him, there's no salvation. Without him, there's no redemption. Without him, there is no hope of heaven. But Jesus Christ becomes not only the center of man's redemption, it becomes the center of God's righteousness. That is, for the righteousness of God to pass on to you, to pass on to me, and the righteousness of God to become ours. Christ is the center. It's not the work of our hand. It is not the labor of our hand. It is not anything we can do, not religion, not tradition, but the Lamb, the Christ of God, who shed his blood for us. He became the center of God's righteousness, the central avenue by which his righteousness comes to us. Not only that, it's the center of the sinner's reconciliation. If the sinner is going to be reconciled with God, Christ is the center, and Jesus is the Redeemer, is the one that is the bridge between the sinner and the Holy God to link us to the Almighty God. He is the center of the sinner's redemption as well as reconciliation. We know that the saints are going to reign in the eternal kingdom of Christ. How is that going to happen? Christ, the Lamb, is the center of the saints reigning in the eternal kingdom. We're seeing without the Lamb of God, there's no life, there's no eternal life, there's no abundant life, there's no everlasting life. Without the Lamb of God, there is nothing that links us up with God to live with him throughout eternity. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, we still have the Lamb being exalted. He is a Savior. He is a sanctifier. He is a Redeemer. He is a redemption. He's all in all for us. In Revelation chapter 7, I'm reading from verse 13. Here are people now that are redeemed. Here are people now that have left this world and they have gone to the great beyond. They have gone to glory. And the reason why they're in glory, and the reason why they are saved, the reason why they have the qualification to enter into the kingdom is because of the Lamb. Look at that again in Revelation chapter 7. I'm reading from verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? Look at verse 14. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, out of great trial, out of great trouble, out of great persecution. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In the blood of the Lamb. That's the only means by which we can be saved. That's the only means by which we can come into the kingdom and enjoy the benefits of the kingdom. The benefits of the King of Kings. The benefits from the Lord of Lords. Today we're speaking on our full redemption through the Lamb of God. You as a believer yourself, you need to understand that Christ provides full redemption because he's the Lamb of God. And as we go out to talk to other people, to bring them into relationship with the Lord, we need to make them understand that redemption, total redemption, full redemption, redemption now or redemption ever, redemption for the spirit, for the soul, redemption for the body, everything that comprises of redemption in the Lord, we have through the blood of the Lamb of God. Our full redemption through the Lamb of God. There are three things we're looking at in the message. Number one, the provision. Number one, the provision. That is the provision of the Lamb. It's coming from the Lamb. It's because of what he has done. It is because of his death, substitutionary death for us on the cross of Calvary. That's how we have that provision. Number one is the provision of the Lamb. Number two, our privilege through the Lamb. He has made the provision. and he has provided all that we'll need that will link us with God and take us to God in eternity. Now we have the privilege, our privilege through the Lamb. Number three is the pattern of the Lamb. The pattern of the Lamb. He's left a legacy for us. He's left a pattern for us. He's left a way of life for us. He's left the standard for us. And we find the pattern in the Lamb, the pattern of the Lamb. Go over that again. Number one is the provision of the Lamb from Genesis to Revelation. The provision of the Lamb from Genesis to Revelation. It is not an afterthought. It is what came from Genesis all through the Bible and then goes to the time and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The provision of the Lamb from Genesis to Revelation. Point number two, our privilege through the Lamb in the generation of the righteous. Our privilege through the Lamb in the generation of the righteous. There are generations of sinners. There's also the generation of the righteous. The people who are righteous from time immemorial, from the time of the first sacrifice, the time of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, from that time until the time that the last person will get into the kingdom and be saved and be a righteous person, redeemed of the Lord, the generation of the righteous, our privilege through the Lamb in the generation of the righteous. Point number three, the pattern of the Lamb in gentleness before raining. In gentleness before raining. It's going to rain and we're going to reign with him. And he gives us the pattern of life we ought to follow. In gentleness and meekness before we reign with him. Point number one, who has number one to tell me over there? God bless you. The provision of the Lamb from Genesis to Revelation. It doesn't mean we're going to read all the books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but I want you to see the revelation of the Word of God and the institution of the Word of God concerning the Lamb of God, concerning what he's supposed to do and what he will do for everyone, what he has done for us and what he's still yet to do for us from Genesis all through to the book of Revelation. We're coming to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. You know the story here. This is when God called Abraham and said that he should bring his son Isaac and sacrifice him on the altar. We're looking at Genesis chapter 22 verse 7. In verse 7 it says, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. A sacrifice was to take place. And in this sacrifice that was to take place, Abraham was going with Isaac. And there was no lamb. And there was no sacrifice. And then Isaac asked, My father, aren't we forgetting something? Aren't we leaving the real sin that we ought to take along with us? Aren't we leaving that behind? And Abraham said, No, not at all. We have not forgotten anything. But where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And then Abraham said, My son, God will provide. And he has provided. Jesus Christ was the one to come. Remember that Abraham was representing God, standing in for God, and Isaac was representing the only son, the only begotten son of God. And Jesus Christ was to be sacrificed for us. He was to become the lamb for us. And here is the first place where the revelation of the lamb for sacrifice, of the lamb as substitution. Eventually they go to the place of sacrifice. You know what happened? That Abraham laid that sick on the altar, and then God said, don't lay your hand on him, don't touch him. And as he looked up, he saw the lamb provided by God. Christ has been provided for you. As the lamb was provided for Isaac to be a substitute for Isaac, in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is your substitute. The punishment you should have carried, he carried that punishment. And all the burning of eternal fire you should have carried, he carried that for you. He paid the whole price. And so you understand, it is not by your feeling, it is not by your religion, it is not by your church denomination, it is not by your affiliation with anybody. What I mean, a body of believers, it's not that. It's Christ the Lamb that has become your substitute. And because he paid the price, you don't have the price to pay again. You don't have the punishment to pay again. He has taken every sin away. You are free in Jesus' name. You remember, after Isaac came out of that and the lamb was sacrificed, Abraham did not say, even though the lamb has been sacrificed, Isaac, come and lie down there, you will still pay the price. No, already Christ has paid your price. It's the Lamb of God. That's why John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh the sin of the world away. He has taken your sin away. Look at Exodus chapter 12, and I'm reading from verse 5. Exodus chapter 12, the revelation of the provision of the Lamb from the time of Genesis going on until the time of Revelation. We're looking at Exodus chapter 12, and I'm reading from verse 5. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Already the Lord is telling us, the one that will come, that will be able to take our sin away, must not have sin himself. One sinner cannot redeem another sinner. One sinner cannot pay the price for another sinner. A sinner will have his own price to pay him, and so he cannot pay for another one. But Jesus Christ, that is represented by this lamb, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. It says, look at verse 12 here, in verse 12 of that same chapter. It says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. That's representing the whole world. Judgment is going to come upon the whole world. But God said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood, that's the blood of the lamb. Remember in verse 5, he said he should select the lamb without blemish and the lamb without any spot. He should select that lamb and kill that lamb and then get the blood. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, somebody there tell me, I will pass over you. When he sees the blood applied by faith, applied by trust in the Lord, that it is not me, it is the Lamb that is going to be the source of my salvation and of my redemption, and you believe in the Lamb, you behold the Lamb, you believe the Lamb, and the blood has been shed, and you have taken that blood by faith. It's applied to your soul by faith. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Come to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17, we're reading from verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. The many people that are trying to worship God in their own way, and they're trying to get salvation by their own effort, in their own strength, but without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, there's no redemption, there's no reconciliation, and there's no righteousness. It says in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. To make an atonement for your souls. You cannot atone for your soul by good works, by anything you render to God. It is the blood of the Lamb, the spotless Lamb, that makes atonement for the soul. And it says it is given. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And it has been given for you and given for me. And I pray all the things that the atonement has provided for will be yours in Jesus' name. Let's quickly go to Isaiah chapter 53. We've been talking about the Lamb. And the Lord has been showing the Lamb is coming. The Lamb is coming. All you see in Genesis. All you see in Exodus. All you see in Leviticus. And throughout the Old Testament, they are symbols, they are representations of what the Lamb, who the Lamb actually will be. But now it's going to be more definite about the revelation concerning the Lamb. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 53. And I'm reading from verse 4. Isaiah chapter 53 from verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs. It's showing you now, because he uses the pronoun he. It's no more talking about the animal. The animals are going to be set aside. The new covenant is going to be enacted. And that new covenant will have the Lamb of God, that is Jesus himself. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God. You see, he's talking about a man now. He's talking about the real Lamb of God, represented by those beasts, animals. It says, and he's afflicted, but he was wounded for a transgression. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for iniquities. He was bruised for my iniquities. I thought you'll say that for yourself. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, somebody there, we are healed. Look at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep, all we, everyone, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Have you noticed that word all there? Start from verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at what follows. And we have turned everyone to his own way. And he talks about, in sin did my mother conceive me. In sin was I born. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's unlimited atonement that Christ has come to make. It's not just atonement for some, atonement for a few people, atonement for everyone. It says he has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Are you included? I said, are you included? All your iniquities, everything you have ever done wrong, small and great and big and terrible, whatever, everything has been bundled together and he has laid the iniquity of us all on him. If I were to break up that word lamb, L-A-M-B, we'll be talking about limitless atonement, meriting or mediating blood. It is the limited, atoning, meritorious blood of Jesus Christ. It's limitless. It's not limited to people in the south or people in the east or people in the north or people in the black race or people in the white race. It's limitless, atoning, meritorious blood. It has been shed for everyone and he has laid on him all your iniquity. You'll not bear the punishment of those iniquities anymore in Jesus' name. Look at verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb, that's the word again, as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He's talking about the lamb. Eventually, as you come to the New Testament, and we're reading from Acts of the Apostles, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, the eunuch of Ethiopia was reading what we have read now in Isaiah, that he has laid the iniquities of us all upon him, and was wondering, who is this? Is the prophet speaking about himself? Is he speaking about another man? And the angel told Philip, go near to that chariot and join yourself to that chariot. We're coming to Acts chapter 8, and we're reading from verse 28. He was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him that read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? We could ask that question. You've read Genesis chapter 22. Understandest thou what thou readest about the Father sacrificing the Son and about the substitute that came? Understandest thou that thou readest that is referring to you? As we think about the lamp in Exodus, understandest thou what thou readest that when I see the blood of the lamp upon you, not your feeling, not your effort, not anything, but the blood of the lamp, I will pass over you. Understandest thou what thou readest? When we read in Leviticus that have given the blood, and the blood is for the atonement of your soul. Understandest thou what thou readest? And then we come to Isaiah. He laid all your iniquity, everything you've done wrong, he laid every sin on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he carried them away. As far as the east is from the west, he has taken all your iniquity from you. Understand this thou, what thou readest? There are many people that still read today, they don't understand that that applies to them. They don't understand that this is for them. And the moment you believe, the guilt of sin is gone. The pollution of sin is gone. The power of sin is broken. And the eternal punishment of sin is taken away. Thank God I understand what I'm reading. I said I understand what I'm reading. I pray the Lord will give us deep understanding of what we already understand in Jesus' name. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? Verse 31. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? How can I except some man should guide me? And then it goes on to say, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb, that's the lamb again, as a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, I'm asking you now, of whom speaketh this prophet? The prophet this, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him. Somebody tell me, Jesus. Preached Jesus unto him. You understand? Jesus is the Savior. You understand? Jesus is our sanctifier. That spotless lamb, that smitten lamb, that slain lamb, that sinless lamb, offered and sacrificed for you and me and for the rest of the world, is the one that became number one, man's substitute. man's substitute, the sinner's substitute. Number two, he became the sinner's sacrifice. There's no other sacrifice, no sacrifice of animal, no sacrifice of even human labor or human effort. He, Christ, the Lamb of God, became, number two, the sinner's sacrifice. Number three, he becomes a sin bearer. It's the one that took all our sins away. You know, sometimes after you are saved, after you are born again, you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ because of being a human being. The remembrance of what you did 30 years before, 40 years before, 50 years before might come to your mind. And some people who do not understand that is just your feeling, they will go and kneel down again. Oh God, I remember 40 years ago, 45 years ago, I remember 50 years ago, forgive me, forgive me. Already has taken that away. And the Lord is wondering, what are you talking about? He erased that from his own record. He erased that from your history. And you will never come across that thing again. They are sunk in the sea of God's forgetfulness. They will never be brought back to you again in Jesus' name. Number one, our substitute. Number two, our sacrifice. Number three, our sin bearer. Number four, he is a savior. He is a savior. When we call him Savior, we call him by his name. He's the Lamb that came to save us from our sins. Actually, that is doublefold. He takes us from sin, and he takes sin away from us. In taking us away from sin, that's salvation. In taking sin away from us, he is our sanctifier. He dips his hand into our nature, into our heart, into our soul, into our spirit, into our inner man, and he takes the sin, the original sin, and the inbred sin, and the depravity, and the internal sin. He takes that away. Thank God, he is your sanctifier, your savior, your sanctifier. He is a shepherd too, because he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. And because he is a shepherd, I shall not want. All your needs he'll provide. Your needs of today, your needs of tomorrow, your needs for life, and your needs for eternity, he will provide in Jesus' name. Remember now, he's a substitute. Remember now, he's a sacrifice. Remember now, he is our sin bearer. Remember, he is a savior. Remember, he is a sanctifier. Remember, he's a shepherd. Remember, he is a security. He's a security. As long as we stay inside that house and the mark of the blood is on the lintel of the house, the angel going around to destroy those who do not have the mark of the blood of the Lamb, the angel will not touch you. You are secured today, and you are secured in your soul, in your spirit, in your life. You are secured forever. As long as you abide in him, you are secured in Jesus' name. And then he is our sufficiency. There is nothing you need. You say, oh, I wish Christ had provided for this. He had provided for everything. When you were younger, your needs were limited. He provided for everything. Now as you are growing older, your needs are expanding, and the Lord has supplied and is going to supply everything in Jesus' name. When you meditate on these words, that this is the Lamb of God, and the Lamb of God has become your substitute, thank God, I've escaped judgment. I said, I have escaped judgment. Is a sacrifice. I don't have to do any other sacrifice. Do I sacrifice this, sacrifice this, sacrifice that? He is the final sacrifice. He's a sin bearer. All my sins are gone. I said all my sins are gone. You know, I say it confidently because I'm sure. How do you say your own? All my sins are gone. They are gone in Jesus' name. Are you saved? I said, are you saved? He is your savior. Are you sanctified? He is your sanctifier. He is your shepherd. He's your security. He's your sufficiency in Jesus' name. You know, we talked about the provision of the Lamb from Genesis to Revelation. I've just read Acts of the Apostles unto you. I'm reading to you now once again in 1 Peter, and I'm reading from chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 15 now. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm reading to you from verse 15. In 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 15, look at what it says over here. It says, as obedient children, in verse 14, not fashioning yourself according to your former laws in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, or without respect of person, judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but what has redeemed us? But somebody there, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Remember, all through from Genesis, Revelation, this Lamb of God is presented, is proclaimed, is provided, is revealed unto us. We're looking at Revelation now again, chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, we have the Lamb in chapter 5, we have the Lamb in chapter 6, we have the Lamb in chapter 7, we have the Lamb in many places in Revelation. But let's just look at this, Revelation chapter 7, reading from verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Stop there for a moment. When you will get eventually to heaven, you will find that the blood of the Lamb has redeemed such a great multitude that no man could number. Isn't it unfortunate for some people that even though there are so many people, multitudes that will be saved, they count themselves out of all the, not only millions, but billions and billions and billions of people that no man could number. Their names are written in the book of life, and somebody is kind of isolating himself, and somebody is separating himself, and somebody is taking himself out of this great number. Thank God I'm of this number. I said I'm of this number. I pray that your name would not be missing on that final day in Jesus' name. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations. Nigerians will be there, Ghanaians will be there, every African country will be there, and all the other countries of all nations will be there in Jesus' name. You know, some people say, baby, I'm born here, I'm born here. It's unfortunate I'm born in this place. Anywhere you are born, the Lamb is available for everyone, and the redemption is available for everyone. It's of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues to be stood before the throne and before the Lamb. And before the Lamb, we will stand before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And he cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, the living creatures, and they fell before the throne, and they fell on their faces, and they worshipped God, saying, amen. Somebody help me shout amen there. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these? Who are these which are arrayed with white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, persecution, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, at they before the throne of God, because their robes are washed, because their lives are cleansed, and because they are cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the only reason. Could your tears forever flow? Could your zeal no respite know? All that for sin cannot atone is the Lamb, is the blood of the Lamb alone. And because of that, therefore, at day before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb is the Lamb. All the way through is the Lamb of God, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. Can I make that personal? God shall wipe away all tears from my eyes. Make it personal. Say it. He will wipe them away in Jesus' name. Before we leave that point, number one, remember, only through Christ, only through the Lamb, only through the Savior, only through our Shepherd, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have, number one, reconciliation with God. Reconciliation with God. He is the one that brings us to God, and he's the one that wipes all our sins away, and now we're reconciled unto him. Number two, we have restoration to godliness. Restoration to godliness. What Adam lost, that godliness, that nature of God, were restored to that through the blood of the Lamb. Reconciliation to godliness. Number three, the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Not the righteousness of the Jews. Not the righteousness of the old covenant. It's not the righteousness of man. It's not the righteousness of human effort. The very righteousness of God we have through that blood of the Lamb. Righteousness without guilt. I pray that all your guilt will vanish away. You'll never feel them anymore in Jesus' name. Number four is redemption through grace. Redemption through grace. That's what we have because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of what he has done, we have redemption through grace. Number five, we have recovery of his goodness. All the goodness of God that heals us, all the goodness of God that provides for us, all the goodness of God that makes us to be what we ought to be, that recovery you will have in Jesus' name. Number six is riches of the gospel. The riches of the gospel. The gospel provides a lot of riches for us, and we have that through the blood of the Lamb. And then number seven is readiness for glory. Readiness for glory. I pray the blood will properly cleanse you and totally cleanse you and prepare you. You'll be ready for glory in Jesus' name. When the trumpet shall sound, you'll not be dumb, you'll not be deaf, you'll not be asleep, you'll be awakened, and you will hear. And through the faith you have in the blood of the Lamb, you'll be ready for glory in Jesus' name. You have them all. Reconciliation with God. You have them all. Restoration to godliness. You have everything. Righteousness without guilt. You have everything. Redemption through grace. And you have recovery of his goodness. You have the riches of the gospel. And by the grace of God, you'll be ready for his glory. We come to point number two now. Our privilege through the Lamb in the generation of the righteous. Let me first of all clear those words for you. Generation of the righteous. Anything like that, generation of the righteous? Look at this. We're looking at this in the Psalms. We're looking at Psalm 14. We're looking at Psalm 14, and I'm reading from verse 5. We're reading from Psalm 14. We're reading from verse 5. It says that they were in great fear. The people that do not know God, the people who have not been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, there they were in fear. For God is in the generation of the righteous. God is in the generation of the righteous. You know, as we're here today, this is the congregation of the righteous. It's the assembly of the righteous. It's the fellowship of the righteous. When you put all of us together, all the believers, all the children of God together, we become a generation, a royal priesthood and a holy nation, and we're the generation of the righteous. Thank God I belong to the generation of the righteous. Do you? I said, do you? I said, do you? You belong to the generation of the righteous, and nothing, nobody will take you away from that generation in Jesus' name. Now we're looking at the privilege we have through the Lamb in the generation of the righteous. So coming to Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, we're reading here from verse 6 again to refresh our memory. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is he dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was bearing the punishment of our transgression. And it says, and he made his grave, in verse 9, with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, spotless, holy, righteous, sinless, blameless. He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, a sacrifice for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, and part of that many. For he shall bear the iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. It's talking about the privilege we have. Well, we're transgressors, but now all those sins are taken away, and we now have the righteousness of God, because he took our sin and gave us his righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we made a great exchange. He took our sin and we got his righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 21, it says, for he has made him to be sin for us. He has made him to be the sin offering for us. He has made him to be the sacrifice for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took your sin and he gave you his righteousness. We have his righteousness. I have his righteousness. You have it in Jesus' name. We're looking at Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, it's repeating what Isaiah has already told us. And this is putting a New Testament freshness into what we've read into in the Old Testament. It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." We're justified, and it is free. It's done everything for us, and we accept that, and we appropriate that, and we receive that by faith. And it says in verse 25, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission, for the removal, for the forgiveness, for the cleansing of the sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." As we believe in him, he has justified us. He has taken our sins away. And now he gives us his righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 5. And we're reading from verse 17. Romans chapter 5. We're reading from verse 17. It says in verse 17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace." How much grace have you received? I said, how much grace do you have? Abundance of grace that covers every evil sin that you have done in the past. And of the gift of righteousness, it says, "Now we shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." You are reign. Even in this life, you will reign in Jesus' name. And of course, in the life to come, you reign with Christ. We're coming to Romans chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 18. Romans chapter 6, verse 18, "Being then made free from sin." Free from sin. You are not a slave of sin anymore. Free from sin. Sin is not your master anymore. You have dominion, and you have it through the blood of the Lamb in Jesus' name. It says, "Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Look at verse 22. "But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruits unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." Amen. Amen. How did we have that? Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, we're reading from verse 8. It says in verse 8, "But what says it? The word is near you, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." You hear the word of faith, and if you receive it as the word of faith, and your faith mixes with that word, everything Christ Calvary has provided will be yours in Jesus' name. That if in verse 9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," the Lordship of Jesus, "and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Look at verse 13. You are going to read verse 13 along with me. 1, 2, 3, go. You need to read that again. Read it well in unison and accept it. Whosoever, whosoever, whosoever. There's nobody exempted. Whosoever. He paid the price for everyone. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's come to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And here we're reading from verse 7. Revelation chapter 19. And we're reading from verse 7. Look at what it says in verse 7. "Let us begin glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is the Lamb again, is the marriage of the Lamb that has now come, and his wife, the bride, has made herself ready. You'll be ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The Lamb is the Lord, and he has granted us what we could not attain or obtain by self-effort. What Christ has done is what we could not do for ourselves. He has given us righteousness in salvation. He didn't just put a stamp of salvation on us and put a label on our forehead, saved, saved, saved. But he gives us righteousness along with that salvation. And I pray that will be practical, definite in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. He has also given us holiness in sanctification. It's not just we have a label, sanctified, sanctified, sanctified. He gives us holiness in that sanctification. He gives us godliness or spirituality. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. We're filled with the Spirit of God. And with that spirituality, he gives us godliness. All we need to do is repent, turn away from our sin, believe, turn to the Savior. All we need to do is consecrate and totally surrender everything to the Lord. And we'll seek him and we'll seek his glory only. And everything will be ours in Jesus' name. Everything will be yours. Because of what he has done, all the blessings we need, all the blessings you require will be yours in Jesus' name. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins, carried our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, dead to sins, dead to sins. You'll be dead, totally dead to sin in Jesus' name. I hope you understand what that means. Let's say, for example, a man had been a drunkard, a smoker. Anytime he sees a bottle of his favorite alcoholic drink, he rushes after it. But now the man is dead. And because he's dead, that bottle holds no attraction to him anymore. A person is a smoker and can smoke anything or everything. But now the man is dead. The thing holds no attraction anymore. Now we are dead to sin. And that sin will not have any attraction to us in Jesus' name. That we should live unto righteousness. Now you are righteous. Now we're righteous. But the blood of Christ and the cleansing of the blood makes every one of us righteous. And the last line of that verse 24, are you there? The last line of that verse 24, I said, are you there? Why don't you read it and let me hear your voice? That's your voice? I thought your voice was kind of a shepherd and that let me hear your voice. By whose stripes you are healed. You are healed. I said you are healed. You know, there are some people, they carry their feelings about. They say, they're not even sick yet. They're not even sick yet. They say, Pastor, I'm going to get sick. I said, how do you know you are going to get sick? He said, I just feel, I just think, I just hope I'm going to get sick. So I'll be calling you on phone. You'll pray for me. I'm not sick yet, but I'm going to get sick. You will not get sick. You are not making preparation to be sick because he has carried all your sin, has carried all your sicknesses, all your infirmity. He has carried everything away in Jesus' name. By whose stripes ye were healed. Now, you notice something. When you read in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah says, by whose stripes ye are healed. Because the sacrifice was still about to come. Now, the sacrifice has been made. Everything is now available. He now says in the past tense, by whose stripes, tell me, you are healed, you are healed already. We'll come to point number three now. And point number three is the pattern of the Lamb in gentleness before reigning. For you to understand what we mean by this subtitle, I'm going to read chapter 5 of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, and I'm reading from verse 1. Revelation chapter 5, we're reading from verse 1. It says in verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Look at that. No man on earth, no man in heaven, no man under the earth, no man anywhere was able to take the book out of the hand of the Almighty and open it and read it. The one that takes that book and the one that opens that book will be unique, like no other person, incomparable. Look at verse 4. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open or to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, weep not, weep not. Beloved, the Lord is saying, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book. And John, who received this revelation, will be looking for a lion. But look at what follows in verse 6. And behold, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood, tell me, a lamb instead of a lion, a lamb. A lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the world. The lamb became the lion. It's the lamb that was slain that now came and took that from the hand of the Father. The point is, it was a lamb before becoming the lion. He was meek before becoming mighty. He was gentle before becoming a governor. He was dedicated before having dominion. He said, I came to serve like a servant before he had sovereignty. And that's what the Lord is telling us, that in the same way, what our lamb has done, our Savior has done, the lamb that became the lion, the reigning Lord, he was first the Messiah, he was first the mediator before he became the mighty one ruling in majesty. He has given us that pattern, and we ourselves too, we must follow that pattern of life, that we're meek before we become mighty. Let us look at Matthew chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, reading from verse 28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will give you rest. He has given you rest already. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's the lamp now, meek and lowly in heart, but later is going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And ye shall have rest, find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. While we're on this side of heaven, that's what we're going to manifest. We're going to manifest meekness and gentleness before we reign with him. We're reading from Matthew chapter 20. And reading from verse 25. Matthew chapter 20, we're looking at verse 25. In verse 25, but Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. We minister to each other. We serve each other. We love each other. And we cater for the need of each other. It says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, he's still going to minister unto, and he's still going to be the Lord, is still going to be the reigning governor, but now he came to serve and to minister. That ministry first before he comes to reign. And that's the pattern he has laid for us. He says is to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. It tells us in Psalm 18, we have to be gentle, we have to be meek, we have to be loving. And then later, as we follow the pattern of the Lord, we will reign with him in Jesus' name. Psalm 18, we're reading from verse 35. Psalm 18, reading from verse 35. It says, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand has holding me up. Listen to this. Thy gentleness has made me great. Let's look into our lives. Let's follow the Lamb. Let's follow the pattern of the Lamb. He was gentle. He was lowly. He was meek. He was humble. And we need to follow that pattern of life. Gentle and meek and lowly and humble. It says, thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Your feet will not sleep. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading the first part of verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, reading from verse 1, the first part. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. If we proclaim Christ, if we preach Christ, and if we talk about Christ to other people, and even among ourselves, let's have the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. And you know the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we must have this gentleness before we reign with him. Galatians chapter 5, we're reading from verse 22. In verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. What's the next word there? Gentleness, goodness, and faith. That's what we are to have. And meekness, gentleness, meekness, lowliness, humility, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 is talking about the attitude and the action of the pastor, of the minister, of the preacher, of the worker, of the Christian leader towards the people that may not be standing right, and we need to help them, to counsel them. Look at what we ought to have as part of our characteristic in helping the people that have gone astray. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Let me read that verse 24 again. The servant of the Lord must not strive. Everybody say, must not strive. God forbid that we ever strive with anybody in Jesus' name. We don't strive at home with our wives and husbands. We don't strive at home with those who are working with us. We don't strive in the office. We don't strive. We don't fight with anyone. It says the servant of the Lord must not, not may not, must not strive, but be how? Tell me. If that's what you are going to do, say it aloud. The servant of the Lord must be gentle to which kind of people? Brother, why are you rough with that person? Pastor, you don't know this person. The fellow is rough. And you know, if you don't get rough with him like that, he doesn't understand gentleness. Gentleness is not his vocabulary. And therefore, if you want him to understand something, you have to be rough with him. How many people are we to be gentle with? All men. But be gentle to all men. God give us the grace. God give me the grace. He'll give us the grace in Jesus' name. Apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We're going to have the nature of Christ. And when we have the nature of Christ, it's an assurance. When Christ comes, we're going to reign with him in Jesus' name. Look at Titus chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 2. Titus chapter 3, and we're reading here from verse 2. We're going to be gentle before we can reign. Titus chapter 3. We're reading from verse 2. It says here in Titus chapter 3, verse 2, it says to speak evil of no man, and to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto how many people? Unto all men. In James chapter 3, we're reading from verse 13. James chapter 3, reading from verse 13. It says in verse 13, James chapter 3, who is a wise man, who is a wise believer, and endued with knowledge among you. Let him show of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. But if ye are bitter, envying, and strive in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom that strives, this wisdom that fights, descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first, then peaceable, and what follows? Gentle and easy to be entreated. And it says, is full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace. We'll all be peacemakers in Jesus' name. Christ is coming back, and Christ is going to reign. And when he comes, he'll find you ready. He'll find me ready. And we shall all reign with him in Jesus' name. I thought you would say amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're reading from verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Reading from verse 23. It says in verse 23. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward they that are Christ. At his coming, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even to the Father, when he shall have put all rule down, all rule and all authority and power, because he must reign, and your reign with him, till he has put all enemies under his feet. He will reign, and we shall reign with him. Revelation chapter 1, reading from verse 6. Revelation chapter 1, Verse 6, and he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then he says, since he has made us kings and priests, look at what is going to happen. Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 10. And he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Read that for yourself. And he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That latter part again, and we shall reign on the earth. And we shall reign on the earth. Remember, you have meekness before you have might. Meekness before might. Remember, gentleness before governing. You are going to govern, you are going to reign. Gentleness first. Dedication before dominion. You are going to have dominion, but you must have dedication of servanthood before sovereignty. Purity before power. Righteousness before reigning. Holiness on earth before a home in heaven. There's a place prepared for you in heaven. You'll be there. I will be there. We shall be there. Holiness of heart now before a home in heaven. He has made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You will reign in Jesus' name. Make sure we're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Make sure that we have the mark of that blood of the Lamb upon us. It's made us righteous. It's made us holy. It's sanctified us. It's a substitute. It's a sufficiency. Give yourself fully surrendered unto him once again. And on that final day, when the trumpet shall sound, you will hear, you will rise for the people, you will go up with the saints of God, you will reign forever and ever with the Lord in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and confirm it before the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I'm waiting for that day, I'm waiting for that time, and I know I'm going to have all this privilege. Know the provision of the Lamb, and know the privilege we have in the Lamb, and know the pattern that he has set for us, that he has for us. Open your mouth and tell the Lord, oh Lord, make me part of it, and make me to be partakers of that, of your coming, in Jesus' name. It will happen. It will happen. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer.